Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
In the new book, The Who, The What, and The When, 65 of the most fascinating sidekicks of history finally get their moment in the sun. Collected here are the stories of the less famous names behind the celebrated explorers, activists, authors, scientists, statesmen, athletes, artists, and inventors that we revere. The name of the book is The Who, The What, and The When. 65 artists illustrate the secret sidekicks of history. One of the authors is Jenny Volvovsky, and we welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
So how did you and your collaborators come to this idea?
Well, we've been involved with a lot of different collaborative projects in the past, and the three of us have a company together called Also, so we're kind of constantly helping each other and are the behind-the-scenes people for one another. And so we just kind of really like this idea of sidekicks and the people who help, you know, the people that we know but aren't as celebrated or as well-known, and kind of digging up the past and who they were and how they contributed to the person's success.
When did the art come into this? I want to talk about that first, because each person has this incredible illustration from an artist who is very cool and reputable and hot, right?
Yes. So the art was kind of the very, very last step. We researched the stories. We came up with the ideas for all the people behind the people first, and then we found different journalists and writers and historians to write up kind of a short bio of this kind of non-famous person. And after that was completely done, we found different artists, and we matched them to the story based on kind of their style and what they typically draw. And then we gave them the essay and just told them, you know, do whatever you want. The only art direction that we really gave them is that the portrait of the non-famous person had to be included.
What was the criteria for the person to be a sidekick? So, for example, you have George Washington's Dennis. So why is that person important?
Well, for some of them, I mean, the people that we included is a huge range. There's like a lot of wives and husbands and people who were kind of extremely influential to the person their entire lives and were obviously really important kind of the whole way through and helped out for 50 odd years. And then there's kind of lesser known people who were important at the specific moment in time and are kind of less obvious choices. George Washington Census is one, but we felt that he was really crucial just because Washington was kind of had only one tooth by the time that he became president and was really embarrassed by the whole ordeal. And we kind of felt like the dentist and the dentures that he created for him gave him the confidence to be president and helped them out in kind of more ways than just being dentures. We also have the story of Christopher Morcombe, who was kind of the first kind of friend crush of Alan Turing, who is, you know, invented the first computer, artificial right. intelligence. But the death of this kind of young boy, his friend, became hugely influential in his life because it kind of started to make him think about the relationship between the brain and the mind, and that kind of led to computers and artificial intelligence. But they only knew each other for half a year or a year or so.
Was it the sidekick that fascinated you in the sense of that we're going to pick this person because of the sidekick, or we're really curious as to Andy Warhol, and it seems that in Andy Warhol's case, his mother would be the one to write about?
Sure. And that also kind of happened a bit naturally. For some of them, we would stumble upon the famous person and kind of discover the sidekick later on in the process of research. And for some of them, we started out with a sidekick and then learned about the famous person a bit later. For example, the story of Marilyn Monroe's photographer, the woman who wrote that is actually the photographer's granddaughter. So with her, you know, she knew she wanted to write about her grandfather, and Marilyn Monroe kind of was secondary in a way in that story.
there's people in here like Julius Rosenwald, who was a business partner with Sears and Roebuck. So it could have been Sears, Roebuck, and Rosenwald.
But sure, it could have been.
But it wasn't.
So, I mean, I think a lot of what we found really interesting about these sidekicks is that I think a lot of them didn't mind playing the role of sidekick and liked being behind the scenes. And I think that in some ways, maybe that is why their names aren't plastered everywhere. I mean, in case of the Sears Roebuck and Rosenwald, he, you know, was a patron of so many museums and in Chicago, but didn't put his name on the museum as well. Like, for example, at the same time, you know, the Field Museum came out and a multiple and all in the planetarium, and they all had, you know, the name of the major patron kind of plastered as big as possible. But with Rosenwald, he really stayed behind the scenes even in that sense and really kind of liked just the fact that the museum existed. He didn't want his name huge everywhere.
I think in looking at the table of contents, I realize that there are probably two people that I would have known without the association to the person, one being Ward Kimball, who, of course, was a great animator for Walt Disney, and also G.P. Putnam, who was Amelia Earhart's husband, but obviously also a great publisher. So in some cases, these were profiles of people that had separate careers, but also were the sidekicks of these other very famous people.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that with kind of who you know, whether you know the famous person or the lesser famous person, is just kind of based on your background and what you're interested in. You know, if you know a bit about publishing, you probably know about G.P. Putnam. But if you, you know, knew less about that kind of field, then you probably wouldn't know who he is. And Amelia Earhart kind of trumps him in fame. But yeah, there's certainly some of the lesser famous people had an incredible number of accomplishments in their own right and, you know, could potentially have a side, you know, a behind the scenes person for them as well.
You include Joyce McLennan in the book, P.D. James's personal assistant. Of course, we lost P.D. James just a few days ago. So it's interesting that she be included in this book and someone that had such a large part of that writing career.
Yeah, so the book, we tried to kind of span as many years as we could, but it turned out that most of the historians and writers wanted to write about something with somebody within like the last 150, 200 years. But there are a couple of people in the book that, you know, are still living, and P.D. James was one of them at the time that we wrote the book. And she had this really close relationship with her secretary, who's been with her for the last 35 years and has kind of typed up her novels and been a huge help and inspiration for her for so many years. So we thought that was a really interesting story to include.
We touched on this at the beginning, but let's talk about the art again. As you say, it was a later part of the process. So when you had the people identified, you had the essays written, then did you have a list of artists that you wanted to go to, or were certain artists have a choice of who they wanted to illustrate?
We assigned every single essay to an artist, just because we thought it would be, with so many contributors involved, it would be really confusing to give everyone a choice, and then if there are overlapping choices, we wouldn't know what to do. So for some of them, some of the artists did end up switching with other artists, but for, I'd say, like 99% of them, we really tried to pick an essay that made sense with the artist's work, and they were really happy with what, you know, they got to illustrate. And since they had free reign to do whatever they wanted, you know, some people were pretty literal with it and some went kind of above and beyond and included many interesting parts of the story within the portrait.
And it's obviously there's many people and it's hard to, we can't talk about everybody, but there's a great list of artists and there's a great list of essayists, and it's a really impressive list in and of itself.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we were super thrilled that all these different people agreed to be part of the book, and they obviously, you know, in some ways we feel like you know, we should be the behind-the-scenes people for all these illustrators and writers, but our name gets to be in the front of the book. But it, in some ways, it should be the opposite way.
When you assigned did you assign the essays to certain writers as well?
No, we didn't. For the most part, the essayists came up with their own content. And for some of them, for example, Joshua Wolfshank just wrote a book about, I think it's called The Power of Two, kind of in a similar vein about, you know, sidekicks and relationships and how two people always kind of make for the best working duo. And so he had already been researching Tupperware and Brownie Wise, who was kind of his underling. And so he took that story and essentially narrowed it down to fit into a one-page essay. And a lot of the other artists had kind of had previous experiences with the subject matter that they wrote about. Some of them, you know, had personal experience. Some of them had always just been interested in the subject matter. So for the most part, the journalists and the historians and the writers chose who they were going to write about.
And what's fascinating is we learn so much about the individuals and the famous people that we know through these sidekicks. We learn even more about them through the people that they've associated themselves with.
Yeah, that's one thing we really loved in kind of receiving the essays back and reading them through, is that you really learn a lot about, you know, the quote-unquote genius, and it kind of fills them out as a person, and a lot of these bizarre tidbits about them start to really make sense once you understand the backstory and where they came from and, you know, who they were influenced by.
And the book works on several levels, because you learn about these famous people, you learn about these sidekicks, but it also just stands alone as a really cool art book.
Yeah, I'm hoping you can just kind of flip through it and look at just the portraits, and that in some ways could be enough. And then, you know, since it's all one-page stories, you can flip to a portrait that interests you and then read the essay, or you can obviously look at it, you know, go from the table of contents, pick a story that you're interested in and read it first and then kind of see the portrait. But yeah, I think the illustrations kind of stand on their own, you know, in some ways, even without the writing, I think they'd be really engaging to look at.
The name of the book is The Who, The What, and The When. It is published by Chronicle Books. Jenny Volvovsky, I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. Best of luck with the project.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Very nice to have you with us. Again, the title of the book is The Who, The What, and The When. 65 artists illustrate the secret sidekicks of history. The book is published by Chronicle Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.